Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy, Text 54. Atmanam tat mayam jayan murtim Sampujayat Hare Shesham Adaya Sirasa Swadhamni Udvasya Satkritam Atmanam tanmayam dhyayan Murtim sampujayadhare Shesham adaya sirasa Swadham nyudvasya satkritam Atmanam tanmayam dhyayan Murtim sampujayadhare Shesham adaya sirasa Swadham nyudvasya satkritam Atmanam tanmayam dhyayan Murtim sampujayadhare Shesham adaya sirasa Swadham yudvasya satkritam Atmanam, oneself, tat, in the Lord, mayam, absorbed, dhyayan, so meditating, murtim, the personal form, Sampujayat should fully worship Hare of the Lord. Shesham, the remnants of worship. Adaya, taking. Shirasa, upon one's head. Swadhamni, in his place. Udvasya, pudding. Satkritam, respectfully. Translation. The worshipper should become fully absorbed in meditating upon himself as an eternal servant of the Lord, and should thus perfectly worship the deity, remembering that the deity is also situated within his heart. Then he should take the remnants of the deity's paraphernalia, such as flower garlands, upon his head and respectfully put the deity back in his own place, thus concluding the worship. Please repeat. The worshiper should become fully absorbed in meditating upon himself as an eternal servant of the Lord, and should thus perfectly worship the deity. Remembering that the deity is also situated within his heart, then he should take the remnants of the deity's paraphernalia, such as flower garlands, upon his head, and respectfully put the deity back in his own place, thus concluding the worship. Purport. The word tanmayam in this verse is significant. One who is purified by worshiping the deity form of the Lord can understand that he, the worshiper, is an eternal servant of the Lord and is qualitatively one with the Lord. Being like a tiny spark of the original fire, the personality of Godhead. Srila Madhvacharya has stated in this regard, Vishnur Brityo Hamityeva Sadasyad Bhagavan Maya Naivaham Vishnur Asmiti Vishnu Sarve Saro Hyaja. One should think, I am an eternal servant of Vishnu. Therefore, because I am his eternal part and parcel, I am eternally one with him. But I am not Vishnu himself, because Vishnu is the supreme controller of everything. The basic principle of deity worship is that one must understand oneself to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. One who is addicted to sexual gratification, foolishly identifying himself with the external material body, cannot change his conception of himself from that of an enjoyer to that of the enjoyed. Such a person interprets the word tanmayam to mean that the worshiper is himself also the worshipable object. Srila Jiva Goswami has written in his Durga Sangami, his commentary on Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhu's Bhaktira Samrita Sindhu, that ahangra upasana, or the process of worshipping oneself as the supreme, is a gross misidentification of one's own self with the Supreme, who is actually one's eternal shelter. The six Goswamis have repeatedly clarified this point. But unintelligent persons within the Prakriti Sahajya community become influenced by the bogus idea of the Mayavadi philosophers, and thus display the deluded misconception that the worshiper becomes the supreme shelter. Such a hallucination is an aparad, an offense against the Lord. Therefore, the word tanmaya in this verse should not be offensively understood to mean that the worshiper becomes equal to his eternal worshipable object. Translation again. The worshiper should become fully absorbed in meditating upon himself as an eternal servant of the Lord, and should thus perfectly worship the deity, remembering that the deity is also situated within his heart. Then he should take the remnants of the deity's paraphernalia, such as flower garlands, upon his head, and respectfully put the deity back in his own place, thus concluding the worship. The entire process of bhakti yoga is based on the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, called the Achintya Ved Aved Tattva. Inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. If we were not one in quality with the Lord, there would be no chance for a relationship, because relationships are possible between persons in the same category. But because there is a difference in quantity, that the Lord is infinite and we living entities are infinitesimal, the relationship of that is of servant to the served, or the master. And therefore, the conclusion is Jivair Swarupai Krishna Nityadas, that the living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said that through the process of deity worship, one realizes that one is not the body. And one confirms oneself, or realizes oneself, to be the eternal servant of the Lord. If we identify with the body, we cannot worship the deity. We will think that the deity is material, a material object made of stone or metal or wood. And such a mentality is hellish. The Padma Purana says that one who thinks that the deity is made of stone, or thinks of a Vaishnav in terms of the body, is a resident of hell. He has a hellish mentality. So the whole process of bhakti yoga is meant to liberate us from the material conception of life and establish us on the spiritual platform. And thus one worships the deity as the Supreme Master, and conceives of oneself in one's eternal relationship of service to the Supreme Lord. As we discussed yesterday, the process of spiritual advancement means gradually moving our consciousness from thinking of ourselves first, placing ourselves in the center, to thinking of Krishna first, and keeping Krishna in the center. And that process is achieved through the deity worship. in deity worship, we must be focused every moment on Krishna. And we are engaging in service to Krishna that is performed by Krishna's eternal servants in the spiritual world. Bathing Krishna, dressing Krishna, placing ornaments on him, garlanding him, offering him foodstuffs. These are activities of the spiritual world. In Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's servants, such as Raktak and Patrak, they dress him and ornament him in the morning. They act as assistants to Mother Yashoda in the household of Krishna, in the household of Nanda and Yashoda. And all of the activities during the day, when Krishna goes out to tend the cows, he sometimes steals away from the cowherd boys and engages in activities with the gopis. But again, the same types of activities go on, offering foodstuffs, and similarly at night, when Krishna leaves the home. So these are liberated activities. The name of this chapter is Liberation from the Illusory Energy, and these are liberated activities. And so devotees in that mood of eternal servitude to Krishna, conceiving themselves as his eternal servants, or as eternal servants of Radha and Krishna, or Gaur Nitai, they can understand that they're engaging in the same activities in deity worship that, you know, one day by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, they will perform in the spiritual world. And so their mood of service is imbued with their sense of their being eternal servants of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if you're in high school and you're doing college level work, you can be immediately promoted to college. So if we are in the material world, but are engaging in activities of the spiritual world, we will be promoted to the spiritual world. And so deity worship, and in fact all of the main activities in bhakti yoga, are in fact activities of the spiritual world. We'll engage in the same activities there as we are engaged here. And those five main items, sadhu sangha, associating with devotees, especially more advanced devotees, sadhu sangha, nama kirtana, chanting the glories of the Lord's holy name and forms and qualities and pastimes, Bhagavat Shravana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a description of the Lord's name, forms, qualities, pastimes, and so on. And so in the spiritual world, that's exactly what the devotees do. They're always engaged in remembering and glorifying the Lord's names, forms, qualities, pastimes, and associates. So, Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtana, Bhagavat Shravana, Murti Sharanvita Sevana, worshipping the deity with faith and reverence. Of course, in the spiritual world, the deity, Krishna, Radha and Krishna, are present in their original spiritual forms. But even in the spiritual world, because especially in Vrindavan, the mood of the pastimes is Naralila, human-like pastimes. And therefore the devotees in Vrindavan think of themselves as human beings and as pious religious human beings, they engage in deity worship. So Nanda Maharaj, he engages in deity worship at home. And Srimati Radharani, she does Surya Puja worship and so even deity worship is performed in Goloka Vrindavan. And then Mathura Vasa, residing in a holy place such as Mathura. Well, of course, if you go to the spiritual world, you're going to be residing in a holy place like Mathura, you'll be in the original Mathura. So all of these five most potent items of devotional service are performed by the devotees in the material world and also in the spiritual world. So again, if we engage in the activities of the spiritual world while we're in the material world, we can be promoted to the spiritual world. But the most important ingredient in our worship here is love and devotion. And that ingredient is essential to be promoted to the spiritual world. And in fact, without love and devotion, we cannot really properly engage in bhakti yoga, and we cannot fully please Krishna. Although I recently read a nice quotation from His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, in which he said that he does not believe that devotees actually engage in mechanical devotional service. Mechanical devotional service would mean going through the activities of devotional service like a machine without any real feeling. But he said every devotee will have some feeling. So it cannot strictly be called mechanical devotional service. There will be some feeling. And ado shraddha The feeling begins with faith and attraction from the very beginning, Ado Shraddha. And Shraddha is actually the same as prema, or pure love. When Shraddha matures, it becomes prema. So we have to just continue with that process. But there is one consideration of which we must be mindful, and that is committing offenses. Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhaktirasamrita says that these five items of devotional service are so potent that even by a slight association with any one of them, one can awaken dormant love for Krishna. So the question may arise that if even by a slight association with any one of these processes, dormant love for Krishna awakens, how is it that we engage in those activities day and night, day after day, but we still don't awaken pure love for Krishna? And the answer is that there is a condition that even a slight association with any one of these processes performed without offense will awaken pure love for Krishna. And so we have to be careful of offenses. We have to be aware of what the offenses are, and we have to avoid them as far as possible, or completely. And then we will relish the sweet taste of devotional service. One of my godbrothers, Jagat Purush Das, who was with me in Juhu for many years, is a very nice devotee, who lives in North Carolina now. He told me the first time he went into the Detroit temple, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in which he said that the more you become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter devotional service becomes. So this verse mentions that one should conceive of oneself as the eternal servant of Krishna. But in reality, we conceive of ourselves as the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And the more we become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the more we relish the sweetness of devotional service. And that is certainly something that we can practice here in the material world, being the servant of 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 the servant. And that will enrich us with the nectar of Krishna consciousness, and truly qualify us to engage in devotional service in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, dear Udatta Prabhu.
And then you referred to just a slight, even a slight association with these processes of devotional service. So is there something going on, like it's just a matter of time and we'll get much fuller realization of Krishna consciousness? It seems so so distant from us now, that full realization, in our neophyte condition, like almost hopeless that we could ever get anywhere. And we toil away for years. So can you make some comment about that, please?
Yes. Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, that anyone who is strictly following the orders of the spiritual master is a pure devotee. And a pure devotee can be defined in different ways. The basic definition of pure devotional service is given by Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. And that definition, that verse is considered the Paribhasa Sutra of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That means the verse that governs all the other verses in the work. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes these different stages of devotional service. Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti, and beyond. And so all of them can be in the category of pure devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada has given the example of an unripe mango and a ripe mango. An unripe mango is also a mango. But if it remains attached to the tree, you know, it will gradually ripen. But from the beginning, it is a mango. But it's not sweet and juicy like a ripe mango, but it is a mango. And as long as it remains connected to the tree, it will ripen. But, you know, if we feel that we're not advancing as quickly as we should be, maybe we should increase our efforts or improve our efforts. But sometimes we may make advancement and not even be aware of it. And Srila Prabhupada gave a nice example of a person who gets on an airplane. You know, he sits down and is, whatever, reading a magazine or talking to his neighbor, and he doesn't even realize he's going anywhere. He's engaging in the same activities in the airplane seat that he engages in on the land. Could even fall asleep, or he could, you know, be eating, or doing something that is exactly what he does on the land. And he could feel he's not going, he hasn't gone anywhere. But when he looks out the window, he sees, oh, wow, we've come a long way. So we may not feel that we've we've advanced so much because we're doing the same things. But if we look out the window at what we were before and what we are now, what our activities were before and what our activities are now, what our characteristics were before and what our characteristics are now, we'll see how far we've come. Come quite a ways. But that phrase, hopeless, that phrase, word, hopeless, I mean, yes, we might feel like that, but we shouldn't, but actually, it's never hopeless. You know, in a moment of abject humility, one might feel as hopeless, but there's always hope, and the hope is Krishna's mercy. In fact, there's a very nice verse by Rupa Goswami that comes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Na Shravanat, that I have no, you know, he basically enumerates all of his disqualifications. He has no taste for chanting and hearing, and, you know, he has no pious credits, and he's taken a low birth. So he's like hopeless. But then he does have one hope, and that is Krishna's mercy, the devotee's mercy. So in a way, it is good to be hopeless of being successful on our own strength, if that gives rise to, not gives rise to the hope in Krishna's mercy, but gives rise to the absolute recognition that we cannot be that we can be successful only by Krishna and his devotees' mercy. We still keep up our efforts. We have to keep up our efforts. Yeah. And there's another verse by Rupa Goswami in which he expresses that mood of hopelessness. But then he says that when he thinks of Krishna's mercy bestowed even upon demons like Agasura, he is sprinkled by drops of hope. Any other questions or comments?
Exquisite class. Thank you so much, Maharaj. I had one question. I had so many questions, but let me just ask this one. You know, every morning we chant the lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. Could you give me some examples of what does that mean by the lotus feet of our spiritual master?
It means to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. They mentioned master. It's reciprocal. He's the master, spiritual. He's the master, and we're the servant. And so, it's the duty of the servant to execute the will of the master. And then the master is pleased, and one makes an answer. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasada.
We've heard a lot about loving God or always wanting to please Krishna, but we have many years of conditioning or experience of always thinking of how to please ourselves. Like the mind says, I'd like some strawberry ice cream. And then you think, oh, I'll go to Whole Foods and get some strawberry ice cream. And then I'll have strawberry ice cream. So we're used to always wanting to please ourselves for a long, long time. And how do we flip that over to always wanting to please Krishna or seeing Krishna happy?
Um, Well, it is subtle because the activities are the same, but the purpose is different. Like Srila Prabhupada said, you know, conditioned soul will see a nice flower and think, oh, I can offer this to some girl and please her so she'll please me. But when we become Krishna conscious, we'll see a nice flower and we'll say, oh, what a nice flower to offer to Krishna. So all of our processes, chanting, hearing, worshipping the deity, are meant to transform our consciousness so that instead of thinking of what will please our senses, we think of what will please Krishna's senses. And, if you crave strawberry ice cream, you could dovetail that and make some. I mean, devotees do make homemade ice cream. In fact, just before coming here, I was in Arizona, and there was a feast in Patagonia, which is near Tucson, and they had like so many varieties of homemade ice cream. Devotees were going crazy. So you could do that. I mean, just going to a store and buying ice cream and feeding yourself, it's not the best. It could be worse. I mean, you could feed yourself worse things, but it's not the best. I guess even that you could offer wouldn't be, again, it wouldn't be the best offering, but could offer it. But the main thing is to keep working at it and to make, consistent progress. I think that's the main thing for everyone. Like Srila Prabhupada said, a businessman, every day, at the end of the day, he'll count up and see his profits for the day. Some days there might be more profit, and other days there might be less profit. But at least he wants to see some profit every day. So in the same way, a devotee, he wants to see some progress every day in his devotion, some profit, some spiritual profit. And so we have to keep at it. And if we keep progressing every day, making some profit every day spiritually, it'll add up. It'll add up. Each mantra that we chant, especially if we chant with attention, each mantra is a deposit in our spiritual bank account. So we shouldn't waste any time. Whatever time we have, we should chant. Like in one lecture in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada said, don't waste time. If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. Don't speak nonsense. So we should think, how long does it take to chant one mantra? Or a round, 10 minutes, you could chant a whole round or more. So a devotee is calculating, oh yeah, for 10 minutes I could make small talk or whatever, surf the internet or whatever. But with that 10 minutes I could chant a round. And that would be a permanent investment in my spiritual bank account. So I should try to utilize every moment, somehow or other, and doing something to please Krishna and purify our hearts. Yes, Nityananda Prabhu?
Shunya would make it going to nil. Any other desires that do not please Krishna, that we bring them down to nil. So it gave me the realization that all of our desires are like barriers separating us from Krishna. And as you remove the barriers, we become not separated from Krishna. And so when the ice cream question was made, I was thinking to myself that if you really feel that craving, then what you'd also feel, that I'm sure Krishna also feels some craving for some nice offerings to be made to him. And if you want to make some nice homemade ice cream, make it and feed it to him and then feed it to his devotees. Because Krishna also is craving that his devotees be happy. And so it becomes a festival, and you turn every challenge that you have in your life into a festival. And you're talking about businessmen, how they make money. One of the greatest ideas businessmen use to make money is they look for challenges and they turn those challenges into opportunities. They make money out of those challenges. They provide a service that takes care of the challenge, and therefore they make a lot of money in the process. So, you know, sometimes we get disturbed by our challenges that we have, you know, the difficulties that we have. But in fact, we turn them around and think that if we deal with the difficulty in a way that can serve Krishna, and particularly his devotees, like you said, you know, servant of the servant of the servant, I think it turns it into a festival, and so life becomes much more interesting instead of the same old, we were eating ice cream from Whole Foods in our previous lives. The company was called a different name, but it was the same old ice cream. It's the same old doesn't give you happiness. I mean, it's something new and fresh and something that's exciting that gives us happiness like that.
Beautiful, wonderful. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Radha Kalachandji ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki
jai. Jai. Shri Giriraj Swami Maharaj ki jai.